Amen. Is anything too hard for God? Give me a mic check to make sure this thing's working. Because last week we had a little technical difficulty when I first started, but I hope that everything is doing okay. Good. All right. Well, anything, we are back again. We had a little thunderstorm came through. It was actually more than a little. It was a big one. And lightning was hitting everywhere and, you know, knocking power out. So I had to shut this PC down to kind of, you know, protect it. Because, again, even though I got a good, what they call our uninterrupted power supply sitting down here, I still don't trust it because, again, this is a very expensive PC, so we shut it down. And as usual, with Cox, when it's raining, packet loss go out the roof. I just checked a little bit, it's settling back down, so the storm moved through, it quit raining. So eventually when it gets hot and dry again, I should be back to stable, but who knows. But I just seem like I can't get the right people to understand, hey, there's something exposed somewhere that's got the elements to the weather, and when it gets wet, that's when it goes goo-goo, you know, or boo-boo, or whatever you want to call it. But anyway, it's Friday night. Y'all know what that means, the few that's here, the faithful few. I know we've been knocked out for quite a while with internet issues. We lost a lot of people who were coming here on Friday nights. We lost a lot on Bible studies, you know. I know they're thinking, you know, I'm still out of commission, but we're trying. But it seemed like maybe they got used to not being here on Friday nights and Thursday nights, and, you know, maybe they're not going to come back. So it's hard to say. So anyway, I'm glad that you're here. So here's a message, you know. So anyway, here's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So I was thinking about when putting this message together, why in these days are so many of God's people are so discouraged, despondent, and filled with doubt? Why is that? I don't know about you, you know, folks, but, you know, since, you know, I've been in ministries and I've been what they call a supply pastor, a supply minister. Now I'm actually a lead pastor of a church because the church did ask me to be their pastor. And those folks are treating me and my wife very well. Those are some great, wonderful folks. They are showing nothing but kindness and love. You know, I wish I could have found them a long time ago and I'd have been a pastor a long time ago. But anyway, I've been talking to a lot of people online, a lot of people on Facebook, a lot of people in town, you know, a lot of people all over the world. And I've been finding that so many Christians, and I'm talking about Christians, I'm not talking about non-believers. It's kind of sad to say it like this. But these are believers I've been talking to, and many I've been talking to are discouraged, and I got there myself a few times. Many are despondent, and many are starting to doubt. And when I was thinking about this, to put this together, I was thinking to myself, this ought not to be. It should not be. It should not be for discouragement. You know, folks, you and I should understand always comes from the enemy. Always. God is not the one that causes us to be discouraged. God is not the one that sends discouragement to us. It comes from the devil himself, comes from his enemies, his army. And despondency, whenever you get despondent, you know, despondency always paralyzes us, the believers, for useful service. Then, because of that, it causes us to doubt. So when you get discouraged and you get despondent, then all of a sudden you start doubting. Before you know it, the service to the Lord basically gets useless. But whenever we get into this position, folks, and sometimes this is a hard saying, if we are in this mold, in reality, according to the Word, if you study it very carefully, it dishonors the Lord when we are in that mode. You see, we should be watching for the blessing of hope. We should have joy, peace, contentment. We should be living a glorious life. But yet, a lot of times we get discouraged. We get beaten down. We get this way and this way. And that, again, as I said, should not be. Period. So, with this, if any encouragement comes out of this that is needed today, however it is in this message, I firmly believe, your answers, my friends, can be found in God. And your online users, I hope you listen to these messages all the way through. Just don't listen to the beginning of it. and then turning it off about 10 minutes into the message. Folks, online viewers, I'm asking you, spend time with him, listen to the messages. I guarantee it might be something you need to hear. So this is why, again, I am saying if any encouragement is needed, we can find the answers in God. If our faith needs to be fortified, we must seek him in times of our lives, whenever things look to be too hard for us. You understand this? I hope you do. Whenever things seem to be too hard for you, my friends, look to God. The song I just played, Is Anything Too Hard for the Lord? You know, that's why I titled this message the same way. Folks, look to him. You see, I want you to think, whenever I was reading this verse to prepare this for the message, I started thinking about my own life. And like I tell the folks at Red Bluff Baptist, the majority of the messages that I have preached so far, almost in the last 3 years, is something personally that I had to deal with. Lately, as I've been preaching to you online, those of you who've been joining, those of you who've been listening, it's something that I have dealt with myself, or dealing with, or gone through it. Either way, it's something related to me. So I started thinking about my own life. You think about your life. You sit there, you're watching this screen, you know, Lisa's going to post scriptures for you, but you're listening to the audio. I want you to think about your life too, folks. Think about it. What are you asking God for? What are you asking God to do that is impossible without him? Are we praying like that? Are we really honestly praying like that, my friends? If not, you need to think about it. Am I praying that way? You know, God, you know, what do I want you to do? We can't force him to do nothing, but we need to be in what I call a very earnest prayer. I mentioned that last night in Bible study. We need to eagerly wait, earnestly wait. But we need to be praying seriously and hard and really self-examining our own lives and asking God to do the impossible with me. That's why, folks, are you praying like this? Are you praying like that? Are you asking God to see him move in ways that makes no sense? Do you get this? Are you? Are you asking God to move in your life in ways that makes no sense to you? I think many of us need to start praying this way, start thinking this way. You know what, God? We need to pray like it's just not making no sense. You know, God, we just need you. And folks, maybe you've been praying for something for a long time, and you almost given up praying for that or the person or the event or the circumstances or whatever the issue may be. You might have been praying for this or that to actually happen. I can testify to that because, you know, I've been praying for a long time, Lord, can you use me as a pastor of a church? And it seemed like it was not happening. And quite frankly, I got semi-discouraged. And almost, like I told a friend of mine the other day, and he was actually talking about, yes, folks, they are going to ordain me also. I will be ordained. I don't know when, but it's coming. They're preparing for it now. But I told that brother, I said, you know what? In this part of the ministry, I was at the point I was ready to give up. I'm about ready to throw in the towel. I think God had nothing for me. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, you know, and gone through this, and, you know, and that's why I said, you know, it seemed like it was impossible. Guess what? Well, I found out it's not impossible. That's why I'm telling you this. But I want you to understand, don't give up. If I would have gave up, guess what would have happened? I didn't. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I kept thinking, well, that's too hard for you. You can't do it. But once again, he proved me wrong. I want to encourage you tonight, online listeners, I want to encourage you now. Have a renewed faith today. And remember, please remember this most of all, nothing is too hard for the Lord. With that, our dear friend, we'll post our reading scriptures for tonight. It is Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. Look what it says. I love how it's worded. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we come to you tonight and we thank you again for allowing us to gather together, Father. Again, I'm still praying for the impossible with this internet issue. You know my request. You know what I'm asking for. Father, I'm just asking for help. Please get these technicians, put it on their hearts. Get somebody involved, you know, someone other than me to start complaining about this thing. And hopefully they can get out there and fix this issue, whatever it is with the weather. There's other things going on within my life. You know, sometimes me and my wife, we think it's almost impossible. But you know what? We're giving it to you. God, the only thing I can do right now is stand here and say, look, this can't be impossible. This can't be too hard for you. I was doing my reading this morning and seeing things happening in the book of Kings, and I saw what you was doing for them who was following you. And yet in their minds, many of them thought it was impossible. So God, you can't be solid. There's just no way. So I ask you, the folks that's here tonight, those who are listening right now, whatever circumstances they are facing in their life right now, it's not impossible for you. So could you please help them in the name of Jesus? Be with them, encourage them, lift them up. And Father, we do need to surrender ourselves more to you. We just need to, you know, put it into our mind, you know, nothing is impossible. We just need to put it in our mind, you know, it just makes no sense to us, but you know what, we're going to give it to you anyway, and we just need to sit back and trust you. Sometimes I have a hard time trying to discern what's going on, or trying to figure out the difficulties of this, but you know what? It's just going to have to be. So again, I thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. I thank you for all the folks that's here tonight. I ask you to bless those who are here and those who cannot make it for whatever reason, Father. You just deal with their hearts in the way that you do best. You deal with them. Nothing we can do. We try. It just seems like nobody's hungry for this anymore, but we're going to keep on pushing. Father, we want to praise you and honor you and give everything to you. In the sweet name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Oh, y'all know what I'm fixing to grab right here, so. High quality H2O. Well, y'all seen the message. Y'all seen the title of it. The song was a dead giveaway of it. So the title of this message is Anything Too Hard for the Lord? Good question to ask, right? Have you asked this question before in your life? Have you asked this question recently in the last couple of months? Have you asked this question possibly in the last several days? Maybe today? You know, I'm not trying to get y'all to rat out, but you know what? It's not wrong to ask that question, but sometimes, you know, when we see the circumstances around us, especially the way the world is going on today, we start to wonder, Lord, is there anything too hard for you? I mean, wow, look what's going on. Look what's happening everywhere. Look what's going on with us. I mean, seem like, you know, you could just, you don't even have to snap your fingers. Seem like you could just think, bam, boom, be gone. But whatever it is, it has to be whatever it is because it has to be according to your will. So in our reading verse, when I was reading this and preparing for this, because I was thinking, you know, when I was at the church and I was sitting in solitude at the place, because it is quiet up there. I'm telling you what, man, I love being in that partridge up north because no noise. You hear occasional dog barking. If you hear the most amount of noise in that area, I will actually have to holler at the birds, shut up. The birds are the one making the most noise. But, you know, it's kind of funny, you know, I'm sitting out there, you know, like, you know, I want to holler at them, y'all shut up. But as I was thinking, you know, and I was reading across this passage here and preparing for this, and I was wondering, you know, when this verse comes in the midst of God's promise, and when you really look at it, it's God's promise to Abraham and Sarah, a son at their very old age. Now, if you really read the rest of it, if you read the rest of those passages, you will see to a point is where Sarah even thought it was laughable. She said, oh, come on, are you kidding me? God would give me a son at my advanced old age? Yeah, right. I think sometimes we kind of think that way ourselves too, you know? I mean, look, could you imagine someone coming to you and say, hey, you will have a baby the next 9 months? And like, you'd be kind of like, what? Yeah, what? But see, the angel of the Lord told Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a son. That's a promise. And Sarah laughed. Abram, well, he kind of doubted. Yeah, I'm an old man. See, both of them, in their minds, right away, thought it was impossible. They really did. Hey, no way. Are you kidding me? And wouldn't that be the way we would think today, right? If all of a sudden someone that could be an angel came and gave us a prophetic word and said, this is going to happen, we'd probably kind of laugh. Yeah, right. Sure. But the question is, my friends, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is it? Want to take a shot at it? See, when you think about it, when you really think about this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Bottom line, it's a rhetorical question. It really is. When you ask that question, is anything too hard for the Lord? That's just a rhetorical question. Now, when you think about it in a godly way, here we go. If you think about it in a godly way, you will find the answer is obviously this. I guarantee it. You think about it in a godly way, you will find the answer to this question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The answer to that question is going to be, nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. Why do I know this? The Bible is very clear. The Bible is very clear. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. I'm going to give you an example. If you want to know the answer to the question I just posed you, well, you're going to find the biblical answer to most of the questions in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. And look what it says. Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. And here we go. Look at the last half of it, folks, which says nothing is too hard for you. There's your answer. So if you ask the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer will have to be no. Because right there, the Lord told Jeremiah, nothing's too hard for you. Well, basically, Jeremiah is telling the Lord that, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. See, so Jeremiah himself, he knew it. He knew nothing was too hard for God. And you really look into this further in many of the scriptures, when you find it, here that we find a very important question with a for sure answer from the inspired word of God. And if you read the rest of Genesis in our reading scriptures, chapter 18, in this chapter, my friends, you will find other questions in verse 9, verse 12, verse 13, verse 14, verse 17, verse 23, verse 25. See, how many I just kind of named off to you that you're going to find those answers? You see? But what I want us to look at very carefully today, what I want us to look at very carefully tonight, what I want you to listen to very carefully, friends, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is it? And you look at such examples like Abraham, we just read, that God promised him and Sarah a son. How about another go? How about Moses? When their backs was to the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was coming, oh, we're trapped, we're cornered, we can't get out. And what did God do? He opened the Red Sea just by blowing through his nostrils. See, that's just one or two examples. You can go in the Word and you can find many more. So with the reading in Genesis that I looked over, five things comes to my mind when reading through these passages of scriptures. Five things comes to my mind in these reading scriptures that we have just read. The first thing that comes to my mind from Genesis 18, there is no promise too hard for God to fulfill. Let me repeat this. There is no promise too hard for God to fulfill. Again, I'm going to give you the proof. I'm not going to say, oh, Jimbo's just saying it. No, Jimbo's not saying it. The Word of God's going to say it. The Word of God's going to give you the proof. How we know? Look what Deuteronomy 33:27 says. And it says that the eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he thrust out the enemy before you and said, destroy. You see, my friends, God is the refuge and dwelling place of his people. Over us is the shelter and protection, and underneath us is the support of his everlasting arms. Want more proof? Well, how about Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19? Here we go. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He has said and will not do, or he has spoken and will he not make it good. So listen, folks. In contrary to the attacks that come against us as Christians, in contrary to the attacks that come against the Word of God, God does not change. Man changed. Man is the one that changes, not God. Those scriptures, when you read them, folks, they've been written over 2,000 years ago. And nothing's changed. Nothing. It was through Abraham and the womb of Sarah that the Lord raised up the Jewish people. Even though they have strayed, as the Word states, listen to this carefully, as the Word of God states this, they will be brought back. They will be brought back. Why? Have you ever thought about that? The Word of God says the Jewish people will be brought back one day. Why? Some folks probably could answer that. But I can tell you why. Because God said it. And God does not lie. It's all in scriptures. If you're a good student of the Bible, if you study the Word very carefully, you would know that God said he will restore them. Now make note of this. Make note of this, because this is where a lot of people take scriptures for granted, or they kind of twist it around, or say, oh, well, that's for the United States. Oh, that's made for me. Oh, that's aimed right actually at us. Or that's aimed at this epidemic or this or that. No, you better stop that craziness. You see, folks, you need to make note of this. Sometimes, God sometimes says some things in the Bible He did not say directly to you or I. You understand this? You need to understand the true content of the scriptures. A lot of times scriptures are not for you and I. They were probably back then for the trials, for the Jewish people or whatever. But now, God never uttered, if you listen to this carefully, God never uttered one word in the Bible that He didn't say for me. Now, you might, whoa, Jimbo, you're kind of confusing me, brother. Let me repeat this. God sometimes says things in the Bible He did not say directly to you and I. But God never, ever uttered one word in the Bible that He didn't say for me. So that's why you got to look at scriptures carefully. Which one does it apply to? Does it apply to previous them? Does it apply to me present now? You got to be very careful when you use scriptures, because don't misquote scriptures. I'd love to do a lesson like that one day on misquoted scriptures, because there's a lot of people out there misquote scriptures. Favorite one, I got it hanging right up there. I look at it every day. It's called Jeremiah 29:13. Look what it said. And it said, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Now, people take that to heart and say, well, that's about me. No, it isn't. That was aimed directly at Jeremiah because of the times and hardships the people was going through. God instructed Jeremiah to tell the people, if you will seek me, you will find me, and when you search for me, with all your heart. But see, that's a misquoted scripture. People today apply it to themselves. Another misquoted one right there, I still got it hanging right up there, is Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Again, that was aimed towards the people, Jeremiah and the Jews. That's not for us. You see what I'm saying with this? But you have to understand, God did other words in the Bible that He didn't say for me. There's other things in there that we can apply to ourselves or is aimed towards us. Listen to this carefully, my online viewers. All the words in the Bible is not for you. What? Whoa, Jimbo, what's going on here? Hear me carefully. All of the Word of God was not written for you. It was written for us. All of us. Pay attention to that. But I can go a little further. Look what Romans 15:4 says. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope." Also Titus 1:2 says this, "In the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began." Love that. Let me ask you this question. What do the promise of God's blessed word means to you? Let's look at Philippians 4:13, which says, "I can do all things through Him which strengthens me." You see, folks, for it is from Christ Himself that we draw strength from, not of ourselves. And if you go a little further, even in verse 19, same chapter, Philippians 4:19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I got that written over on the wall to my right of me. But what's going on right now, what I mentioned earlier in this message, my friend, some of us are running off of our own strength and are being directed and guided not by God. Let me say this carefully because I know I'm an old Cajun boy. Some of us are running off of our own strength and are being directed and guided not by God. And if it's not by God, then who? Who? You see, folks, if you are doing things other than God, it's just a matter of time, your strength will fail you. It's just a matter of time, your wisdom, understanding, plans, direction, and what seems important to you will lead you to a dead end street. And I say this carefully. I myself have learned to never preach a sermon. And this is something I have done for the last several years. I have learned in everything that I have gone through to never preach a sermon again without asking or claiming for two of God's greatest promise. I ask this all the time when preparing these messages for you. I always ask him for wisdom, and the other is for guidance. God, grant me the wisdom to speak the things I need to speak to the people and guide me into the way I need to present it. Always ask that. Every time I prepare a message for you, every time that I pray, every time I try to teach, because again, I tell people this over and over and over. I don't want to point this never to me no more, ever. I don't want this never to be about me, period. It has to be about God. And sometimes it's going to come with a great cost, difficulties and hardships. But if you want to see God moving in your life, you're going to have to get down to the nitty-gritty, strip yourselves of all things, and start asking yourself, God, let us do it your way. But I always ask for the wisdom. I always ask for the guidance. In fact, we're supposed to, because according to James chapter 1, verse 5, says this. And I love my brother James here because he says, if any of you lack wisdom, here we go, let him ask God who gives it generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Y'all remember what I said? God cannot lie. God is a God of truth. Yes, even my cat agrees with it. See, he knows truth. There you go. See, he knows truth again. He hears the word. But folks, if you want wisdom, ask him, and he'll gladly give it to you. That's right, my cat. Listen, folks, the promises of God are just as sure as they always have been. Never change. The promises of God are just as sure as they always have been. They never change. Never will. Is there anything too hard for the Lord, my friends? Is there? No. There is nothing too hard of thee. The second thing that comes to my mind, there is no prayer too hard for God to answer. No prayer too hard for God to answer. And do you know what I have learned in my life when serving the Lord? When God is doing this with me, you may relate to this, but this is one very primary important thing that I have learned in my life when serving the Lord. Here it is. when God is going to do something wonderful, and this is for you too, when God is going to do something wonderful, he starts with something difficult. He starts with the impossible. Let me ask you this. When was the last time that God answered a prayer for you? Would you have to go back 5 years? 6 months? 6 weeks? 7 days? You see, folks, I believe that when a child of God is walking with God, he or she doesn't have to go back very far in order to tell about God specifically answering his or her prayers. If you're truly walking with God with a holy heart, you don't have to go back very far to say when God specifically answered the prayer. My brothers and sisters, there is no promise too hard for God to keep. None. And in addition, there's no prayer too hard for God to answer. And I know this is the fact because Jesus himself said so in Matthew 21:22. Look what it says. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. When you ask in prayer and believe, you will receive. And the ESV says it a little different, but folks, anything that you ask in prayer, believing that you shall receive, when you ask and believe, you will receive. Now, that doesn't give you a guaranteed thing for a Lamborghini or a fancy house or whatever. It all has to be in accordance to the will of God. And listen, my friends, God is not limited to circumstances. Oh, no, far be it. But it has to be God's way and not ours. Again, is there anything too hard for God? Again, the answer has to be no. There's nothing too hard for thee. The third thing that comes to my mind in reading these passages in Genesis, and I love this one because I have battled this a lot myself. Whew. There is no problem too hard for God to solve. There's no problem too hard for God to solve. And look, everyone gets in tight places. Amen. Amen. Everyone gets in tight places. I don't see no amen. Okay, I was waiting on somebody to type it. But we know that Gideon himself in the Bible did. We know Abram did. We know Moses did. We know that Paul did. They all got in tight places, my friends. Especially if you are a child of God, especially if you try to attempt to live for God or do something for God, guess what? Crises do come. And sometimes they are great and even overwhelming at times. We're facing another crisis right now within our ministry between me and my wife. And we got that little frightened little look, but you know what? I'm praying to God to solve it, to take care of it. But remember this. Again, there is no problem too great for God to solve. No problem. How do I know this? Well, here's the facts again according to the Word. Psalms chapter 37, verses 3 to 5. Plain as day, my friends. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Wow. May God help us today to believe that there is nothing too hard for God. Is there anything too hard for God? Y'all hear me repeat this all the time. Is there anything too hard for God? If you were alive, I should hear a what? Probably Lisa would be the only one that would type, maybe. I don't know. But is there anything too hard for God? Come on, folks. Throw me a bone. Frog's dormant. Fred, are y'all sleeping? Walked off away from the PC, probably? I'm testing you to see if you're there, if you're alive. Apparently you did, huh? Well, okay. Again, the answer is no. There's nothing too hard for thee. The fourth thing that comes to my mind in reading this passage, there is no place, where God can't send a revival. You need a revival in your life, my friends. There's no place that God can't send a revival. I have read of great revivals, and people did four things because of those revivals. They condemned sin in their own lives and repented. They surrendered and obeyed God's word. They had a burden and compassion for others, and they prayed. Often, we try everything except God's way. Often we try to do everything except God's way. Oh, we'll do a bunch of advertising. We'll try to get folks to realize what a great preacher is coming. We organize. We do everything but agonize before God in prayer and claim his promises. How sad. Listen, there is no place on earth that God cannot send a revival. Oh, God, help us to believe that there is nothing too hard for you. And the fifth thing that comes to my mind from the reading passage is, my friends, and I emphasize on this a lot, there is no person, too hard for God to save. None. We may have purposely put it into our mind, that person cannot be saved. No way. Can't happen. I actually found out people said that about me. And yet I was saved. You see, and often because of this, I think about the story of the paralytic and the four men who brought him to Jesus. You can read that in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I love that section, folks, when you read about that. And when you think about it, you know, I picture this in my mind. See, when the plaster begins to fall and made all the noise, and everyone was wondering around there, what was going on? What's happening? What's all that noise? What's all that stuff falling from the ceiling? Everyone was wondering except one person, Jesus. He wasn't wondering. And when all of a sudden that the hole appeared, there was a cot with a man on it and four men sticking their heads in the hole and looking down. I don't know about you, my friends. I would have loved to have been there when that happened and looked up and seen it. Wow. Those dudes had great faith. And seeing the Bible says, when you read the scriptures, Jesus saw their faith. Not his. Jesus wasn't looking at himself. He saw their faith. Not his, theirs. The four heads peeking through the hole in the roof. And he looked down at the man and he said, "Son, thy sin be forgiven thee." Wow. Again, is there anything too hard for God? Is there? No. Nothing. Nothing is too hard for God to handle. Nothing. everything that I have shown you tonight and read. If you're still listening to this, your online viewers, I hope that you are. In closing, I'm going to give y'all this. Everything that we have read, everything that you have studied, everything that you have heard, God has given us ample evidence of His power, faithfulness, and truthfulness. By a simple act of His will, He created the universe and everything in it out of nothing. You get this? God created everything in this universe out of nothing. He spoke it, and it came to existence. If God can do that, just by speaking those words, and everything come to existence, then nothing is too hard for God to handle. You see, God keeps the planets in orbit. He stretches the northern sky over empty space, and He hangs the earth on nothing. There's no string holding the earth up. Some like to say, well, God's holding the earth up on His hands. Well, yeah, that could be. You see, He holds all things together and supplies the needs of every living creature. Prime example is about those birds. You always see those birds worrying about where they're going to eat. Me and my wife chuckle because we sit on the porch a lot, you know, and we get a lot of bread because we don't eat all the bread when we get it. So we crumble up the bread and we throw it out there in the yards. And would you know it, in no time flat, bam, birds from everywhere come and eat on the bread. Now, I kind of laugh sometimes because you know what I think's going on? Those birds got themselves some cell phones. Hey, dude, we got us a smorgasbord over here at this address. Fly over here real quick. And we're going to get down to eat. Or they got some kind of instant direct messages or something or whatever. I just don't know how it is. But you throw a bunch of bread out there and bam, all of a sudden birds from everywhere come. Now, how is that? How did they know that? How did they know that you threw food out there? How did they know that you got bird feed out there in a bird feeder? Come on. God supplies the needs of every living thing. And surely that the God who made the heavens and the earth, who gives life and breath to every creature and every human being, can even make an old woman conceive and give birth to a child? You see, folks, God's question to Sarah ought to encourage us to examine our own hearts. It should encourage us to examine our own heart. And you should be looking, are there any obstacles in there of unbelief standing between me and God? Is there any unbelief? Is there any doubt? Do I harbor those doubts? Do I harbor the doubts that cause me to laugh at God's promises? If we truly believe with hearts of faith, that God is who He says He is, nothing will shake our confidence in Him. Nothing. Yeah, we get shaken a little bit, but nothing should shake our confidence. Lord, I trust You. And when God asks, is anything too hard for the Lord? The answer will be a resounding no. God can do anything. What we have heard today, tonight, in this message doesn't mean, and please listen to me carefully, I'm not one of these prosperity type people, but what we have heard in this message tonight doesn't mean everything we say before God or ask of God is then guaranteed, because nothing is too hard for Him. Folks, we don't know. But when we pray, we need to make sure that your hearts are believing God to do the impossible. And if God has you in a humanly impossible situation where it seems like it's all out of control, it seems like everything's just coming apart, it just seems like nothing's working out for you, have you ever thought about it's to bring you to the end of your own strength so that you will trust in His ability to do the humanly impossible? Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Okay, God, then let your affliction be upon me. Woo! I bet all of us here tonight ain't prayed that kind of prayer, huh? I bet there are people out there listening never prayed, God, would you just let your affliction fall upon me? Have you prayed that kind of prayer? I don't think not. But we need to trust in Him to do the impossible. And you may not ever see the answer in your lifetime, friends. You may not. I know many Christians who pray. They pray for a couple of weeks or a month or 2 months, and after that they quit and give up. Get mad, get discouraged. Well, don't you think that God already knew your heart when you started praying, that He knew you was going to get mad and discouraged, and that's why you hadn't heard the answer yet? You see what God wants to do? He wants you to get lined up with Him. See, we can't get lined up vertically. We can't do it laying down. We have to be lined up with Him horizontally and be in His will. And it's difficult at times. I will confess to you, it is hard. I'm dealing with pains in my shoulder. It hurts. Oh, unbearable. You know, when I try to lift my arm like that, I just get excruciating pain. My back is killing me. My knee is hurting. My poor wife is dealing with, we hope it's not shingles again. But I'm trusting God to do the impossible. I thought it was impossible. I was never going to become a pastor. But guess what? It happened. You may not see the answer in your lifetime, but you can trust in Him and give glory to Him, knowing that His word of promise will stand and that He has not forgotten His promise to you. God's word to us is always surely, even when circumstances shout, no way. Get this, God's word to us is surely, even when the circumstances in our lives shouts to us, no way, dude. But last but not least, remember God's question. See, if you read those scriptures carefully, you see how God posed a question back to Him. Is anything too difficult for me? Ask that question to Him. Lord, is anything too difficult for you? And trust Him to do what is humanly impossible. May He bless you as you wait on Him. Amen. Let's pray.